For over 50 years, they redefined rock. The spirit lives on.
Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson. Rush. Live 50-something tour. Sign up for pre-sale access at Ticketmaster. Legends don't stop. They evolve. Rush.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Content warning. The following includes discussions of sexual harassment and suicide. Listener discretion is advised. Well, we are bringing you something special this week, the week of, I guess, is it technically the first week of the season of The Witch, since this past Saturday we kicked off the season?
Yeah, I think that Saturday kicked off the season, as well as the wheels are in motion.
It's happening.
From the incantation that we opened and closed with everyone that joined us in person and on Keysway. Thank you so much. Your wonderful energy and support throughout that show made it so amazing. And
what a night.
If you couldn't be there, there's still time to watch it on Keysway during October through Halloween, which is the season of The Witch, of
it's
course.
Now is the time. Yeah, head over to sinisterhead.kiswe.com, or you can go on our website and click live shows, and you can stream it on demand anytime. If you were there and you were like, man, what was it? I remember this part. I want to redo the incantation myself at home. Mm-hmm. Why? You don't have to wait another moment. You can do it this exact second. Watch it. Feel like you were there. It was so much fun to learn about why witches are always associated with brooms. We learned about why witches are associated with cauldrons. So all of the archetypical features of the witch, we broke down the history and how they're being not just represented today, but people practicing today in all various kinds of practices.
It was a fascinating show to research, to really literally start from year one, which is a crazy thing to even try and wrap your brain around. And how just even today in 2025, there are so many similarities and parallels which continue, good and bad, mostly bad, but that we decided that evening, along with other groups, that we're taking it back. We're taking witch back. It's a good thing now. It's not, you know, the old hag that was blamed for everybody's diarrhea and milk curdling. That is not what we are about. And if you are like, which one of the guys from that top video did they say they were going to FMK? Well, you can go back and rewatch it on the Keysway.
Never forget. Oh, those fellas. Oh, man. Yikes. I'm hot and you're not.
He's so funky. I could never be that funky.
I will never be that hip. Well, maybe vest, if you wish. Yeah.
One had a vest. One had suspenders. One had an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt. It was a vibe in the 80s.
It's one of those things, like, how do you even do magic to make those guys more 80s? And somehow, when she does her magic, they become more 80s.
They do.
We'll show it to you all along with our commentary and all that good stuff. And you get to hear the woos of the audience and the thank you all for being there. We just could not do this without you. So yeah, go check it out. You can also still get the Coven tea. I took my mom to the fair this morning until it got hot for like 2 hours. And wouldn't you know, not only did she roll in with her Season of the Witch shirt, but she nancified it, which is where she cut the collar of the t-shirt. And so then she did stitching to make it gold stitching. And then she put gold paint on the witches on the front of the Coven tee and then stitched gold around the bottom. I was like, people are going to want one of these.
I want one of these.
So
Nancy.
That's to say,
Nancy will make it if I ask for it, which is so very kind. I don't know how long it took you, so don't feel like you got to go out of your way. But I love that she's representing
it. Oh, she's phenomenal.
The fair where, I mean, we need to get a giant one for Big Tex.
That's the next one, is climb Big Tex and put a Sinister Head shirt on him. And then that we accidentally set him on fire again. And we're like, yeah. God damn
why,
it, no.
Why was Heather arrested? Well, it was what we all assumed. She climbed Big Tex. We all knew it was one day for some reason or another.
I was tempted. So it was not as crowded today. And I was like, I could get close to him at least before any of the cops and the little perches. They'd have to get down and come get me by the time. I would have been way up there by the time.
You would have already gotten at least a sleeve on him before they got
you. In his mouth, just like Luann on King of the Hill. Well, we hope you guys enjoy Season of the Witch. Go to sinisterhood.com/live shows. The info's there, or sinisterhood.kiswe.com. And we're coming up on, it's now just a month away. I don't know how it's almost November, but Crime Wave at Sea 2025 is also imminent. I mean, by this time next month, we will be docking and getting off and the cruise will be over.
Isn't that wild?
Literally,
and we thank you to Emma, who we met at the Season of the Witch show, and her lovely mom, who for her birthday bought her a ticket to the cruise. And I vowed to her mom to make sure she stays safe. So I've got a job now, because I can't let anyone fall overboard. That is my goal for the entire time we're there.
That's your goal. We also said, if you went to Season of the Witch and now we're going to come on Crime Wave, let us know, because we're going to give you a episode 13 cassette tape.
Yes.
And some other treats. I'll pull this
up. I also found some
other
stuff. I've collected some Sinisterhood swag that can be given out to those that are coming to both.
Well, we can't wait. So yeah, go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and get aboard, because it's, the ship's fixing to take off. And if you're not on it, it's going to leave you.
The other day, Simon said, I've never been to the beach. And I was like, you're right, buddy. You haven't. And he's like, have you? And I was like, yeah, we're actually about to be at a really pretty beach in about a month.
Sorry, kiddo. I'll bring you pictures. I'll bring you a little cup of sand. Yeah, a little thing of sand for
sure.
I'll
try to get a good seashell and some sand.
Oh, well, after we come back from Crime Wave, that's when we have to plan our West Virginia, take him to Mothman and Flatwoods that. Take both of the kids. That's the next trip.
You know where they want to go? Ohio and West Virginia are the top two states right now for
both.
Them.
I've had a lovely time in both of those states.
Same.
Would love
They're
to
both
go
great. Well, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we can go. So not Hawaii or like, okay, yeah. No, we'll go to Ohio.
Not even like California where their uncles are. They're no Ohio. the uncles can come to Ohio.
I'll tell you who doesn't live in California. That's the Loveland Frogman.
That's right. So, they know where they're going.
They know where they're going.
Damn, take me to the Loveland Frogman. Just cracking a cold one with that buddy.
Oh, right
under a bridge. Well, all that to say, thank you for being with us this week. We are bringing you something special this week. We have an interview with an illustrious journalist. I'm a big fan. You're a big fan.
Yes.
I'm sure all of you all recognize this name and this face and this voice.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to get to speak with him. This story in particular, we will be covering as well in the coming weeks. But this story is... Man, it is gut-wrenching just from beginning to end. And, you know, it happened in Texas at a very popular military base here, which has, unfortunately, a history of a lot of nefarious things, which Mr. Quinones will speak about. And then in our episodes, when we do them in a few weeks, we'll talk about as well. But in the meantime, please enjoy the thorough coverage that John Quinones and 2020 have done on Vanessa Guillen's case.
Yeah, and as you're listening, since we are going to cover it coming up, if there's any questions that pop up in your head or gaps in coverage that you've watched an episode of 2020 or you listen to Vanished, which is John's podcast, and think, oh, why does the law work that way? Or why? We're trying to work out a lot of explanation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice in our coverage. But just to make sure we cover it all, feel free to drop us a comment on Patreon or on social media, on YouTube, and just see if we can work it into our coverage in the coming weeks. But
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you'll hear all about our fellow Texan, John Quinones, and his journey covering the story from right when it first broke up until now. Sinisterhood will be right back.
This episode of Sinisterhood is brought to you by Graza. Graza is our olive oil of choice. It's delicious, easy to use, extra virgin olive oil, and an affordable everyday price. Graza is always fresh. They pick, press, and bottle all of their olives in the same season. So you can even see the harvest date on every bottle. It's like knowing when they were born.
It does. I'm like, oh, hello, October. I love this. Graza has not one, but two extra virgin olive oils to stock your kitchen. They're sizzle. They're everyday cooking oil that's perfect for roasting, sautéing, and, well, pretty much anything you want to cook. Then they have drizzle. They're super punchy, flavorful finishing oil that's really good for dipping your bread. Mm-hmm. It's great for whipping up a salad dressing or drizzle it over ice cream. It is our favorite olive oil to use. I go through probably a bottle every month because I literally eat it every single morning on toast with feta and eggs, and I love it.
It's so good and so convenient. It comes in super fun squeeze and spray bottles, so you don't have to have those bottles on your counter that are always dripping out of the spout. Your hands are getting all oily every time you pick it up. None of that. You just aim, squeeze, and you're ready to go. We use this literally every day. We use just about every single one. Sizzle, frizzle, drizzle every single day. We are a Graza household. And
same.
You know the meme of like, you seem happier. Thanks. It's because I use Graza every single day.
Thanks. It's because I have really good breakfast every morning that feels like I'm eating at like a fancy hotel.
So good. It's our famous annual site-wide sale. Time to stock up on olive oil for the year. Discounts are automatically applied at checkout, so no code needed.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We are having a conversation with one of my favorite journalists, certainly the legendary John Quiñones from ABC's 2020. You know him from Good Morning America, Nightline, and from the very popular amongst me and my friend group show, What Would You Do? Now in its 17th season, welcome to Sinisterhood. John Quiñones, thanks for being here with me.
Thank you, Heather. It's good to be with you.
Absolutely. You're a Texas native, too. I'm up here in Dallas. I'm from Mesquite, which is a suburb of Dallas. My co-host is from Fort Worth, and you're from San Antonio, if I'm not wrong.
That's right. Born and raised seven generations. Seven, before Texas was even a state.
Yeah, the true Tejano. Real Texan. Yeah, I love it. Well, and you went to St. Mary's as well, down in San Antonio, and then Columbia for J school. How did that kind of compare, leaving your Texas roots to take up the journalism helm in New York?
Well, I had to leave Texas because no one would hire me in television. I wanted to be a local TV reporter, and I was a radio reporter, and they only saw me as a guy who could only do radio. Nice voice, but that's it. And it was frustrating and depressing, and I was thinking about going to law school in Houston. I was a radio reporter in Houston. Then I met someone who had gone to Columbia University, and I said to her, listen, I'm going to give up journalism. I can't get a job. I'm starving, very little money in radio, and I think I'm going to go to law school. And she said, no, John, I can tell you have such a passion for telling stories. Don't give up journalism. If you're going to go back to school, why don't you go to Columbia University in New York? It's the best journalism school in the world. You get a master's in 1 year. And if you want to go, I'll write a letter for you recommending you. Nice. And she did. And I got in. And not only that, because I couldn't afford it, I got a fellowship to study at Columbia. And right after that, I got a TV job in Chicago. I did a story there about swimming across the Rio Grande. I went undercover, posing as a Mexican immigrant trying to get into the U.S. Wanted to tell the story from their perspective, the immigrant's perspective. And I got a job at a restaurant in Chicago where the owner of this restaurant had seven undocumented workers working for him from Mexico, and he had not paid them, Heather, in 17 weeks.
So just labor trafficking, essentially.
Yeah. And they lived, every time they complained, he would say, hey, guys, you get to eat all the food you want. You get to sleep in the basement here. You keep complaining, I'll call immigration, ICE, and have you deported. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's happening in this country today. But I went there and I posed as someone who just arrived from Mexico, and he hires me as a dishwasher. So by day, I'm bussing tables and washing dishes. And at night, I went down into the basement and I slept with the other immigrant workers. And I still wonder what they must have thought, because by day, I'm washing dishes up there. And then at night, I pulled out a little camera and I started interviewing them in that restaurant basement about their lives. And through tears, they told me how they were being held against their will in that restaurant. Well, the next day I came back to work, you know, wearing a suit, speaking fluent English, because I was speaking only Spanish prior to that. I was pretending to be a newly arrived Mexican immigrant. And I remember we had to chase the owner of that restaurant through the parking lot.
I'm sure.
Because he didn't want to talk to me about what he was doing to those workers. But the day after my story aired, swimming across the Rio Grande on an inner tube, working at that restaurant, the U.S. government moved in and they shut down the restaurant. They arrested the owner and they got the Mexican workers the money they were owed and temporary visas to remain here. So that was my big story. I won an Emmy and it brought me to the attention of ABC News, where I've been now for 43 years. Can you believe that?
I can believe it. You've become a voice. Whenever I turned on the first episode of Vanished, just the sound of your voice, I have to say, has become such an anchor for me, because you do report on such, what you've just described, such heinous things like labor trafficking or like what happened to Vanessa, where there are systemic issues at play and where truly the humanity of the underlying victims, I think, is often overlooked. You've covered so many powerful stories in your career, and you share a similar background with Vanessa and her family. And in Vanished, yeah, you know, you said the case gnawed at you. When you first heard about this, I know a family member sent you, FYI, you know, there's a person missing in Texas. You know, what were the early, your kind of gut feelings when you first started looking into this? Because it seems like, you know, much like the Rio Grande story, you kind of have this like eye for where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a bigger issue to address here.
Yeah, Heather. And, you know, these stories don't get a lot of attention. Often, women of color who go missing are not paid the same attention as other victims around the country. And to make matters worse for this family, the mom only spoke Spanish. It was on a military base. How hard is it to get into the base and get people to talk to you? It was a tall order to try to tell this story, but I saw so many similarities in Vanessa and her family, the Guillens, and my family. I mean, I grew up in the barrio. I didn't speak English when I was 6 years old in San Antonio. This, despite the fact that my family's been in Texas all these generations, we just didn't have to learn English because my parents dropped out of the third grade to work. My dad was the janitor at my high school. My mom used to clean houses at Alamo Heights, the rich part of town. So I didn't speak English. I saw many similarities when I first started researching. And what piqued my interest after my nephew from San Antonio said, have you noticed this? Have you seen the story about the young woman who's missing from Fort Hood? Then I saw that that the actress, Salma Hayek, had posted a picture with the hashtag, Bring Us Back Vanessa. And it was Vanessa's picture. And Salma Hayek vowed that she was going to be putting up a new picture every day until she was found. So I started doing a little bit of research, started reporting on the story for 2020. Thankfully, 2020 wanted to do it. And the beautiful thing about 2020 is that we do documentaries, right? Mm-hmm. They're not just a quick 2-minute story. They're longer takeouts. And in my interviews with her family, Vanessa's family, they told me that shortly after she was assigned to Fort Hood, they saw a marked change in Vanessa. She seemed worried and depressed. She wasn't eating right. She was losing weight. And then the mom is asking her, what's wrong? She finally confides in her mother, Gloria, and she tells her, you can't do anything about it. It's the military, but I got to tell you that I'm being sexually harassed by someone higher up in the ranks, mm-hmm, at the base. So the family was very suspicious of this. The next thing they hear is that Vanessa is missing. On April 22nd, 2020, at 9 in the morning, she texted her boyfriend from Fort Hood. Her boyfriend was in Houston, actually, her fiance, mm-hmm, Juan Cruz, and she tells him by text, I have to work in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And that was the last text she ever sent. She went missing for weeks upon weeks. No one knew where she was at. Her family's pleading. Her sister Myra drives from Houston immediately to Fort Hood, demanding answers from military officials, all of them asking, how could this happen within the confines of a military base, one of the biggest bases in the country.
That was so striking. Yeah, when you interviewed her sister, and she said, "What do you mean she's missing? She's on a military base. How do you go missing? They're supposed to know where every soldier is at all points." And when you interviewed her mother in the first episode, and her mom said, "Dame la nombre," like, give me the name. Like when Vanessa said, "I'm being harassed," like that mother's fierce love of give me the name, not understanding. And not as I'm a lawyer, right, by trade. And even I don't have education into like the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That's a whole other set of hurdles and struggles that sexual assault and sexual harassment victims in civilian courts struggle to have things reported. What was striking to you when you started wading into sort of this new, because, you know, you cover true crime cases on the air already, and you have for, you know, a majority of your career, obviously. So this is a kind of a different setup. What were some of the obstacles to uncovering the truth? And, you know, how do you, as part of an institutional news organization who wants to keep good relations with the military, as far as like getting access and speaking, but wanting to report the truth?
Well, the last person who was seen with Vanessa, this soldier by the name of Aaron Robinson, had an alibi. So they didn't look at him closely enough.
Sinister Hood will be right back. If you're still overpaying for wireless, it's time to say yes to saying no. At Mint Mobile, their favorite word is no. No contracts, no monthly bills, no overages, no hidden fees, no BS. Here's why we said yes to making the switch and getting premium wireless for $15 a month.
With plans starting at $15 a month, Mint Mobile gives you premium wireless service on the nation's largest 5G network. The coverage and speed you're used to, but way less money. And the best part? Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts.
It's super easy to set up Mint Mobile. When we went to do it for the show phone, we literally didn't need any tools. You don't need any help. You don't need an outside person. No, no, no. There's no nothing that you need at all. Just yourself and your maybe 5 minutes or less of your time. It was so easy. And for it to be this inexpensive and affordable, hey, that's what we say yes to. We say yes to no expensive things.
We also had an extra phone from Paris days of working for a phone company. So it was super easy just to have a phone and plug it right in and you're off to the races. Ready to say yes to saying no? Make the switch at mintmobile.com/sinisterhood. That's mintmobile.com/sinisterhood.
Upfront payment of $45 required, equivalent to $15 a month. Limited time new customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds may slow above 35 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
He was the man who later was accused by his girlfriend because they knew that this woman was involved somehow. Turns out she's his girlfriend. He had been hiding out at her house. They were seen together out at the scene where the body was discovered. Cecily Aguilar accused Aaron Robinson, this other soldier who was working with her in the arms room there at the base. He was never charged because when they started questioning him, he took his own life.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to pursue it any further. But the search continued. Before that happened, the search continued for Vanessa for more than 2 months. And then finally, heartbreakingly, her remains are discovered. Her body was dismembered, burned, and buried in three different makeshift graves. That's when military authorities finally started looking at Aaron Robinson and questioning him. But before they could get him to say anything more, he took off in a car, put a gun to his head, and killed himself.
Yeah, and Fort Hood at the time was not like the bastion of a responsible, normal, clean-cut military base. They had been undergoing not just sexual harassment allegations, but seemingly like some type of sex work ring that was going on, and the death of several of the cadets, and that was not related to combat. It was either homicide, suicide, including remains found while they were searching for Vanessa, that her poor family was like, well, we hope it's not her. And then it How is it that it's another soldier from the same base?
Yeah, the more we started digging, the more we found out really frightening information that Fort Hood had faced multiple scandals all around allegations of sexual harassment, sexual assault. In 2015, it turns out, a Fort Hood sergeant, who, by the way, also served as a sexual harassment and assault advocate. He was an advocate. He was convicted of running a prostitution ring on the base. There were also questions about the alarming number, as you mentioned, of soldier deaths at Fort Hood, including death by suicide. In 2020, the same year that Vanessa disappeared, went missing, 13 Fort Hood soldiers reportedly died by suicide. And that included the case of this young soldier, Elder Fernandez, who killed himself after reporting sexual abuse to his command. Mm-hmm. The Army later said that it couldn't substantiate his allegations. But in the 4 years before Vanessa's disappearance, more Fort Hood soldiers, we found out, had died in homicides than in battle. Wow. And in 2020, the year that Vanessa went missing, there were at least 28 Fort Hood soldiers who died, vanished, or in one case, turned up dead after having gone missing. So it was pretty scandalous.
It's so scandalous, and it's completely flabbergasting that the coordinator for sexual harassment reporting was, in fact, participating in it. The fox is running the hen house. The chain of command in the military is traditionally influenced these investigations into sexual harassment, sexual assault. And how did that impact the reportability? And what impact do you think it had on the victims who think, okay, well, I've got nowhere else to turn. I've signed this contract. I can't leave my post, but I'm continually being abused. And the only way to get out is to report up the chain.
Well, the greatest impact, Heather, was the family. I mean, this, in the end, is a story about a family that just would not give up seeking justice. And thank God for social media. The story, you know, inspired an international movement with these protests that the family was holding at the very gates of Fort Hood. Yes. You couldn't go into the base without seeing, you know, Vanessa's big, you know, portrait there. It inspired this international movement with the hashtag I am Vanessa, because people started coming out of the woodwork saying they too had been harassed. And it sparked a reckoning within the military. They had to say something, and the military got involved. The Pentagon got involved. The family met with President Trump at the White House, and they made changes. I mean, the fact is, since the Vanessa Guillen case, the U.S. military has undergone significant reforms, most notably the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act, which was signed into law in the year 2020. Mm-hmm. It criminalizes sexual harassment. It moved the prosecution of sexual assault and harassment cases outside of the military's chain of command. Yes, it requires independent investigations and protections against retaliation to these victims. And beyond the legislative changes, the Army also implemented something they call People First. It's a task force that addresses any kind of toxic command climate and tries to improve safety and justice. And finally, the military instituted new protocols that have been established by the military to prioritize and investigate missing soldiers, which was a big problem, right, years ago. Missing soldiers when Vanessa went missing. Now that those new protocols are very different from the initial, very slow response that the military had in Vanessa's case. So it's pretty clear that Vanessa Guillen's, she didn't perish in vain. Mm-hmm. What changes came about. The problem is still around. They haven't solved everything. Yeah. There's still work to be done.
But the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act, for our listeners who are not familiar, it now makes sexual harassment explicitly criminal under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Before that law was signed into act, it was not a standalone crime under the UCMJ. It was addressed as like conduct unbecoming of an officer or a failure of good order. And then it also fixed the huge issue that if you are being harassed by your boss in a civilian job, you can go to your boss's boss and say, I'm being harassed. Yeah. In the military, it was mind-blowing that if your boss is sexually harassing you, you have to go, excuse me, you're harassing me and I would like to make a report. That is not going to lead to any good result. And I love so much about this story. It's rooted in so much pain from her family. You can just hear it in their voices. You know, her mother praying to the Virgin every day, like, please bring my daughter home, that they were able to convert that pain into real movement and to tell, you know, a small family in San Antonio, you're going to go up against the whole entire U.S. government, the whole military, all of Congress, the president himself. And I think it's such a testament to that family's love. Were there moments that you spent with her family that have really stuck with you, that you were able, because I think you really spent a lot of great time with them?
Well, I connected with them because they reminded me, you know, I grew up in the same similar circumstances in the barrio, as I mentioned, the west side of San Antonio. So when I connected with Mrs. Guillen, they call her Mama Guillen, Gloria, and her husband, Rogelio, and the sisters, Myra, and the little sister, Lupe. And I went to their home. You know, as soon as I entered, they invited me to lunch. And there was a fresh smell of tortillas, just like my house and my mom used to make. And then I noticed that right there in the living room is an altar with candles and a big statue, portraits of the Virgin of Guadalupe, the patron saint of Mexico. That is where Mrs. Guillen, the mother, would pray the rosary every night while Vanessa was missing. So I connected with it in so many levels. It was very familiar to me. The mom didn't speak English, so I was able to interview her in Spanish. And I knew, as a Mexican-American from a similar background, I knew when to stop pushing and when to ask more questions and when to back off a little. So it made it a little bit easier because I connected so well with that family. It just touched my heart. Again, my mother had the same altar in our house, and she would pray the rosary every time I was in Central America covering wars, hoping that I would get back home safely. I really connected with this family, and it touched my heart that so much passion there. Little Lupe's voice, she was 16 years old.
She's so fierce.
Fierce, yeah, indeed. For the new podcast, we get to re-interview Myra again, the older sister who led the charge early on to get justice. And you'll hear an update from her about her family. She has a baby now. Mm-hmm. She's thinking about running for Congress.
I just saw that. Yeah. I think she announced on social media that was potentially in the works. So she said, I'm doing it all for you.
They did sue the military, but I think they dropped the case because it's going to be so hard, they said, to pursue it.
It's almost, it's an impenetrable at times organization where you feel like you can't get in from any angle. Sinister Hood will be right back. It's fall. It's time to get in bed late mornings, having your coffee on a Sunday morning with the book and just being all cozy. And especially as the breeze of chill, like it starts to roll in, you're just like, I want to be where my feet are soft or my legs are soft in my bed.
Oh, that's at any given time of day, if someone was like, where would you want to be right now? In bed is usually my answer. Ella came in there earlier today and just flopped down and said, oh, so comfy. And I was like, I know it is, isn't it? And that's all Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch's bed bundles are perfect for creating a sanctuary of comfort. There are bundles for every kind of sleeper with curated bedding for your coolest, coziest, or softest night's sleep. Made with the highest quality 100% organic cotton in durable designs and customizable colors. Plus, they come with a 30-night worry-free guarantee.
Whenever you like lay in a Boll & Branch sheet, like for instance, I have a Chihuahua that ruins things sometimes. And if she gets like mud on the sheet, I'm like, well, now I have to change the sheets. The only thing that makes me sad is if my other set of Boll & Branch sheets is not available. Like that is it. Like as long as I'm like, I'm not even mad anymore because I'm so chill because I know it's okay. I'll change them. It's just going to be that much softer the next time because they get softer with every wash.
They do. It's incredible. I was a fan of Boll & Branch before they even became a sponsor. My whole bed is is outfitted in white and mist. Mist is my go-to color. It's just the perfect shade of gray where it doesn't turn on you like some grays can, and it's light and airy, but it still has that like warmth that you want in a bedroom. I love it so much. Everything that they have is fantastic.
Bowl & Branch makes upgrading your bed easier than ever with curated bundles for a sanctuary of comfort. For a limited time, get 20% off bed bundles plus free shipping and returns at bowlandbranch.com/creepy.
That's Bowl & Branch, bowlandbranch.com/creepy to save up to 20% and unlock free shipping. Exclusions apply.
One of the best parts about your reporting is that you do bring your whole self to it. And I think in that you allow the listeners, the viewers of your work to really feel connected with your underlying subjects. Was there ever a time as you were working on this case, researching it, that you interviewed somebody that was maybe putting up a barrier, a wall, like you felt like you had to push a little bit harder? I know you very much connected with her family, but any tangential outsiders that you came across in the story that you really had to, you know, go after to get answers?
Yeah, it was at the Pentagon. He agreed to do the interview, the Secretary of the Army, McCarthy. But he, you know, I had to challenge him really hard on with several questions. In the end, he wound up opening up and again coming back down to Fort Hood and pushing for these changes that were eventually implemented. But that was tough to get the Army to speak up. We had to take several runs at it. There was hardly anyone we could talk on the military base itself. You know, eventually they started opening up. And I think it was, again, due to the immense pressure from the family. They just kept pushing and pushing and protesting, not only in Texas, but in Washington too, and it became an international, you know, story and movement, really. And that's what in the end wound up sparking a sort of reckoning within the military. But it was because of the family. In the end, it was these three women, you know, Gloria, Myra, and Lupe, mm-hmm. who just wouldn't give up.
It's a beautiful passion that they all share, that really, they were hurting so badly. But to hear that, you know, Vanessa didn't answer within several hours, they got in their car and drove up to Fort Hood, said, we're going to go find her ourselves. And this is,
nice. Yeah.
I mean, it's an unstoppable family. And so the fact that not only did they fight for Vanessa, but when the I Am Vanessa Guillen hashtag trended, women in uniform all began sharing their own stories. Like you said, it sort of became a Me Too for the military. What did you learn from those voices that came out in support of Vanessa, you know, not just her family, but other women and men in uniform, about the culture inside the military and perhaps how it needed to change and maybe how it's changed over the last few years?
Well, at least at Fort Hood, there was a toxic climate. There was no denying. Even the Secretary of the Army admitted that, yeah, things were really bad and that change had to come. And several people were moved out taken out in their leadership roles there. You know, the sad thing is that even to this day, the Guillen family doesn't know exactly what led to Vanessa's death. They know she was working in that arms room with this other soldier, the last man to see her alive, Aaron Robinson, specialist. The only thing they could glean was the testimony of that man's girlfriend, Cecily Aguilar, who later told authorities that Aaron had told her that they were in the room with Vanessa. Vanessa looks at his phone and there was a screenshot of him with Cecily, his girlfriend. Now, Cecily was married to another soldier. Aaron Robinson apparently freaked out and worried that Vanessa was going to talk about fraternizing within the military, which is, you know, not acceptable in the military. And he was so upset that she might tell that he was having an affair with a woman married to another soldier that he then attacked her with a hammer.
Wow.
That's the only story that we have heard. And it comes from Cecily, And it's really just her word. We never were able, no one was ever able to interview Aaron Robinson after that initial interrogation, because he took off in a car and he killed himself.
So it seemed like the lack of ability for the soldiers who are serving to either, I mean, it's a very strict, obviously, the military is a very strict place. And Aaron Robinson, whether he felt like he didn't have an out because he broke a rule or something, it sounds like the chain of command issues and things like that were really leading toward bad mental health outcomes for those who had enlisted. Has there been any sense from your reporting, you know, since you initially covered this, now up through when you're re-interviewing everyone and kind of looking at everything with the fresh eye for the podcast, because you previously reported on it for 2020, do you get the sense that the reforms that have been enacted or the things that they promised 5 years ago that would change, are there real changes to be made, or is there a long way to go?
No, real change has come. There's no denying that. More needs to happen. And as part of the series, you will also hear from our producer at the Pentagon, Louis Martinez, who's been there for decades. And he will also give us an update on what changes have come to the U.S. military in light of this. In addition to the ones I mentioned, the I Am Vanessa Act, but you know, he will be able to also shine a light on how successful that's been.
Yeah, because I think there's certainly an interest from when something like a social media campaign goes as widespread as this one did, from civilians, that we want our veterans to be taken care of, but we want our active duty military members to be taken care of as well. And so the fact that they have these opportunities to be able to report and not feel like they just tell their family. It was heartbreaking to hear Vanessa having to tell her little sister, you know, you're too young to know about this, and someday you'll understand. And it was just heartbreaking for her to really, obviously she felt like she had nowhere else to go. So I hope that current soldiers at least feel like they have some place to report with those out special prosecutors.
And this young woman, Vanessa, you know, she really wanted to serve her country in the end. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
She thought, yes, you know, I'll be able to go to college, you know, after this. The military, once you serve, will help you go to college. And she thought, this might be the only way out to help my family. And that family lived in a small ramshackle house on the east end of Houston. She wanted so badly to help her family, but also she was committed to serve her country. She said, I have a mission, and that is to serve this country. And I can relate to it. Latinos in South Texas, at least when I was growing up, you know, it was a big deal to join the military. I thought about joining the military. It was during the Vietnam War, and I did go to college, but I was in ROTC in high school and in ROTC in college, thinking that if I graduate, then I will go in as a second lieutenant into the military, into the army.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Families are really proud. You know, Latinos love to serve their country. In every home you went to in my barrio community when I was growing up, so many families had a picture of their son in a Marine's uniform, sailor's uniform, an army uniform. It was a big deal. And that's what Vanessa wanted to do. She really wanted to help her country to serve.
Yeah. Do you get the sense that despite the fact that not only her life was cut tragically short, but her military service was cut short, that sort of helped bolster her family, that Vanessa's wish was to join the military to change the country, you know, protect the country, make it a better place. In her absence, her parents and her sisters sort of took up this helm. Is that sort of helping their mission, you think, along with their grief?
Yeah, they do. I mean, the fact that Myra is now considering, you know, serving her country as a congressperson. The younger daughter, when I interviewed her, wanted to be a lawyer, you know. The mom, by the way, you know, she's still dealing with tremendous pain, but has forgiven Cecily Aguilar. Cecily was the only one convicted in this case. She pled guilty as an accessory to murder because as it turns out, she helped dispose of the body. But at her hearing 2 years ago, at her sentencing hearing, she was sentenced to 30 years in prison and I think $1 million fine. She apologized to the family in court. And then she asked to speak to Mrs. Guillen, the mom, privately. And they did. And Myra, in this new interview that I do with her for the podcast, tells us that she, the mom forgave her, that Cecily really, you know, did her best to apologize, at least to the mom. Myra is not so quick to forgive. She feels that, you know, Cecily could have come up, could have spoken earlier and could have saved them so much heartache while they spent more than 2 months looking for Vanessa.
There's something to, as a family member searching for your loved one, especially connected to something that should be easily trackable, like a military base, and to go through that pain and know that there is a key to unlocking your pain, which is Cecily Aguilar could have come forward at any time. Yeah. I imagine that that's painful to deal with, certainly. Yeah. But as a, you know, as a storyteller, when you're telling stories for 2020, how does that differ from when you're able to do a long form podcast like this? What does this format allow you to do that perhaps is different than what you're able to do on 2020?
I tell you, it's a lot of work. I didn't know podcasting. Kudos to you, Heather.
I don't know about
this
that.
This is my first podcast. Believe it or not, I had not done any prior to this. I think I'll do more. 2020 would like to do more. But there are a lot of work. I mean, this is, you go deep. Let's face it, 6 parts to this series, and each one of them, you know, 45 minutes long. It's a good 6 hours almost of reporting. You get to be more descriptive in telling the story because you don't have the video to show exactly what it looked like. And so you have to, you know, be more creative and use words to describe. I love that. I love being able to hone in on some of that. It reminds me of my days in radio. I started, as I mentioned, as a radio reporter. Also, recording them takes a long time. It, you know, it's like usually I can snap these off very quickly, my narration to my 2020 stories. But for these podcasts, you want to pause. You want to be slower in your delivery. You want to emphasize certain elements to the story. I really like it, but it is a lot more work. I still want to do more.
Well, you should. You're excellent in the first episode. Again, your voice is such an anchor for me and I'm sure millions of people. So it is very well served in the podcast format. And I do appreciate the theater of the mind that you paint in it. I mean, I was listening and as I was making my coffee one day and I literally had to stop because I truly was getting emotional by not only your interactions with Gloria and Rogelio and the Myra and Lupe, but also with your descriptions of the minutiae of the life of a person that they leave behind, that her green prom dress, you know, her medals from the races that she did, the check that she put up from the army. So all those tiny details really make us fall in love with Vanessa in a way that I think we try to do on Sinisterhood. We always say the last day of someone's life, the worst thing that ever happened to them does not define them. It's a moment. And it is, of course, a vital moment we want to get into, but we want to show this whole person. So when listeners are walking away from listening to all the episodes of Vanished, What Happened to Vanessa, what do you want them to walk away with when they're listening to that final episode?
I want them to remember Vanessa and not forget. I think that's the part of the goal of the podcast is to make sure Vanessa Guillen isn't forgotten and to also look at what's changed as a result of her story. I think in the end, I know that the podcast world will further honor Vanessa's memory. And I hope we do our part toward that.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to, we plan on covering it on Sinisterhood. We do things a little bit different than you, where ours is more commentary based. My yeah. legal profession, there's a lot we cannot wait to get into discussing the legal differences between civilian military system and the UCMJ. So our listeners look forward to that. So thank you for all of the hard work you do, because all of the first person interviews are so vital for us. So we appreciate and love to lift up the work that you're doing as well. So,
yeah, I loved all the places we went yeah. with this. You know, we took her mom to the track at her high school, where Vanessa yes. used to run track. It was during COVID. During COVID, she couldn't go to the gym. She describes herself as a gym rat prior to this. And so we take her mom, and her mom, she made her mom run with her on that track around the school. And she would lift big tractor tires and wheels and throw them over. She would grab her fiance, because she couldn't lift weights at the gym. So she would put him over her shoulder and do presses with her boyfriend on top of her. Little things like that. I just think they add so much. And you will hear all of that in the podcast. So thank you. Thank you for reminding folks to listen. It's Vanished.
What Happened to Vanessa? New episodes are being released every Tuesday. Make sure you listen to them on the Vanished feed, and you can find them on ABC's 2020 feed as well. Thank you so much for being with us today, John. We really appreciate it. Thank you for all of the work you've done throughout your whole career, all the reporting you continue to do. We so appreciate journalists like you who bring the cultural competence, the compassion, your whole self to the story. You never make it about you, but I think your perspective is what really lifts the stories that you're covering. So we appreciate it. And if you're doing a What Would You Do episode and you need a place, I would suggest Mesquite, Texas, where I'm from. It's the home of the championship rodeo. If you ever need a place.
But... That would be a great thing. We've never done a rodeo. That's a great
there
idea.
There you go. Yeah, so. Mesquite's, it's my hometown. But we so appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for further introducing Vanessa to the world, and for, like I said, making it possible for shows and podcasts like us to do commentary on it when you do all that hard work and that first party interviewing. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Thanks, it's a pleasure.
John. Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Am I the Asshole, and popular opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input. We got a spicy unpopular opinions up there right now. So please weigh in the comments and let us know what you think.
Yeah, we can't wait to hear from. And if you have something to submit, go to sinisterhood.com/contact, and you can send us all of the possible your unpopular opinions. If you feel like you're an asshole, or you have a grievance for Judge Christie, I mean, you might be. Sometimes I'm like, was I an asshole?
So I mean, so we have every day I think, was I? And sometimes the answer is, yeah, I need to go apologize.
You need a third party for sure. Yeah, go to sinisterhood.com/contact and click submit a Patreon segment. And if you're not sure what we're talking about, we also offer free trials. It's where you join for free. It's where you join the Patreon for a week at any of the tiers. You can check out all the perks and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. When you do stick around, there's so much to explore.
Oh, yes. Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content that we let you all vote on to see what you want to see, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and most importantly, a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out Sinisterhood merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. You can also pre-order your Season of the Witch tee only through the end of this week. If you didn't get your size at the show, or you were at the show and you didn't get it, you can either bundle it on Keysway or pre-order it from our website. But do it before they're gone, baby.
Yeah, do it. And then make it your own. Hell yeah. See it. Glitter it. Do whatever you'd like.
It's badass.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that leaves such kind comments and 5 stars. Submit topics for cases you'd like us to cover. Submit your odd but true tales for Freaky Friday. And whatever bizarre or hilarious video you want us to live react to during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. All you do is put in your email. You get immediate access to the stream, to the chat. You get to see all the videos before they get cut down so YouTube doesn't take them down. It's so much fun. Everyone crushes it each week with the videos they send in. And also by just putting in your email to get access to this and register as a free Patreon member, you get all sorts of stuff, a whole backlog of free audio and even some video too. So it's really a win-win situation.
Hell yeah. We can't wait. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us over on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, a tarot card pull, some advice maybe, book a cameo now from happy birthday to birth announcements to anything in between. We love to create customized videos to help celebrate with you, and they can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. It's a custom gift, and you don't even have to get a out of your off your the toilet to buy it. We wouldn't know. No. We wouldn't know.
We wouldn't. It's been a lot of fun doing the tarot pulls, and we heard from several people at the show during the VIP Q&A that have been sent cameos either from themselves as pep talks or loved ones, and it's always so nice to put a face to that and hear how it really did. You know, it was a really nice thing you received, and you go back and watch it all the time. So thank you to everyone that books those.
Yeah, look, I go back and watch my cameo you got me from Coach Bennett. We are, no offense to either of us, we are no Coach Bennett's, but no. It's a wonderful thing to be able to have that and rewatch it, because the initial excitement still comes back. So go to Cameo. You know,
yeah, I still watch the Fiona one that you sent That's me. Right. And neither of us are Fiona either.
No, we'll never
you
be.
Know, we and will Coach never Bennett, be Fiona the hippo.
Neither will Coach Bennett. I love you, but you'll never be Fiona. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.